This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. La Crosse is known for being on the Mississippi River. The river brings in tourism and provides recreational opportunities for the community. It can also be a safety hazard for those visiting the city's popular downtown nightlife. During the early 2000s, a series of college-aged men drowned in the Mississippi until a group of students started Operation Riverwatch to prevent further drownings. Joining us today to talk about the program's 10-year anniversary is Alex Marodic, University of Wisconsin-La Crosse student and director of Operation Riverwatch, Denise Vinovich, vice president of student development and success at Western Technical College, and Officer Brooke Potaska from the La Crosse Police Department. So, Alex, as I said, it's been almost 10 years since the creation of the Riverwatch program. Has it been successful?
I would say without a doubt. Ever since 2006, in particular with Riverside Park, previous to 2006, we had a total of 8 deaths that actually took place on the Mississippi River. And those majority of those actually took place within Riverside Park. And after the passing of Luke Holman on September 30th is when he initially went missing, the student government within UW-La Crosse actually kind of enacted some sort of a proactive approach on such an issue, and then that developed into Operation Riverwatch. At the time, it kind of rendered to be too big of a task for student government just to take on by itself. So then what they ended up doing was my fraternity brothers at the time were like the president and vice
and
president.
And what fraternity is that?
Yeah, Sigma Tau Gamma, UWL. And so they ended up passing it over to us, the fraternity, just to take over because we at that time didn't have as much like obligations to the community and stuff. So ever since 2006, we've been taking it over. And like I said before, there hasn't been any kind of mishaps at all within Riverside Park. So I say yes.
You know, Officer Potaska, from the, you know, perspective of the La Crosse Police Department, has this program been a success?
Absolutely. It definitely has. It's one of those programs that you can actually see that people are being helped and assisted, that they are still walking, drinking too much, walking maybe Riverside Park or towards the river, and they're being turned around because they are so disoriented due to that alcohol or that intoxication level. So absolutely, and you can definitely see in those numbers too that this is a very, very beneficial program in the La Crosse area.
And Denise, you know, from administrators' perspective of all the local colleges, I know that I believe every college has experienced a drowning. You know, has this program been helpful, been a success?
Absolutely. It's an incredible partnership with the three colleges, the police department. I believe the Radisson is also a partner in keeping the supplies, and the police reserves helped also. It's making a difference, not only in keeping people from going into the river, but also in changing the risky drinking culture. I mean, the students are being exposed to the the risky drinking behaviors and the risks and to safety that the fellow students are putting themselves in. And so it's been a good learning experience and good culture changing experience for our community.
You know, Brooke, can you talk a little bit about the series of drownings that went on that kind of prompted this? You know, when did these kind of start?
Well, they kind of started around 1997, sometime in that area where we kind of started seeing that. But then they continued to happen. It wasn't an incident that seemed to go away after, obviously, investigation was completed and after, you know, autopsies are completed and everything. And that what we kind of found, or the police department found over the series of them, was that one of the main factors, or one of the factors that was in all of the cases, was that the alcohol, blood alcohol level in each individual was rather high. And from that, we were trying to continue the investigation, figure out if there's some correlation that the police department can do or help or assist with. Then we also try to get a hold of even the city to see if there's something maybe with Riverside Park specifically that we could change the face of or do something different to make it not easily, you know, to fall in the river or to make the way to the river. So there was a bunch of different things we were trying to think of as a whole, the police department, the mayor, collaborative effort on that end to see what we could do to change some of that. But yeah, at the early stages, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what kind of an issue it was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And have any of those changes taken place?
There, the main obviously is Riverwatch, but as far as changing some of the face of the riverside there, there hasn't been anything major. Nope. We've done more lighting recently. Actually, last 2 years, we've added cameras. So some of those things we've definitely, you know, helped with any cases that have happened even in Riverside Park, even though there hasn't been any drownings. There's been different vandalism, for example, different crimes that have occurred there that have helped as well to have those cameras in the well-lit areas. But nope, there wasn't anything major that changed. It was just the act of having people there to actually see and to help people that maybe were too intoxicated and walking around the park.
The last drowning that took place in Riverside Park was in 2006, was a UWL student. You know, Alex, obviously you weren't there at the creation of the program, but, you know, what do you think students were feeling that really motivated them to want to start this program?
So within the 1997, it was a total of 6 months, and we had lost 3 male students in a matter of those 6 months. So that in itself, I think, was kind of, you know, there is an issue here. And then 5 years down the road, an additional 4 more students ended up falling into the river, and that was all the way up until 2002, excuse me. And then on September 30th was when Luke Holman passed away. One of the contributing factors, I would say, to such a cause across the 3 campuses is because he was, I guess you could say, like the stereotypical student athlete leader. Just from what I can understand, like from the Greta Van Susteren interview that we did with Fox News last year, like he was a very well respected individual, not only on the basketball team, but also in his own community. And then also one of the contributing factors to start of Riverwatch was that Luke Holman was, to my knowledge, a friend of one of my fraternity brothers at the time. So it was really, you know, we had people that were of power that were able to make an influence on the community, and it just took a tragic incident such as Luke Holman's passing to enact something and actually be proactive and stop making this happen.
And so why did the group at UWL want to reach out to Viterbo and Western Technical College to create this partnership?
I would assume it was more so because, you know, UWL is primarily consisted of always been hovering around like 10 to 11,000 students. And majority of those students actually live off campus. And as we all know, the kind of tendency for off-campus living is that students don't engage in on-campus activities, let alone like kind of like do club-based volunteerism. So I would think that reaching out to the 3 student bodies, you know, Western Technical College and Viterbo along with UWL, just getting a total sum of people that are on campus to basically equal 9 to 10,000 people between the 3 schools would definitely be, you know, a positive thing to tap into. So.
And Denise, you know, why did Western Technical College, you know, really want to get involved in this program and promote this among their students?
Well, certainly for all the reasons already mentioned. And, you know, we are part of the community. We have a lot of students in the neighborhood and in the community. We want to be a good community partner. We've lost students to drowning, Craig Myers in 2010, and this is an important initiative. We have 15 to 20 clubs a year volunteer, and for 4 to 5 weekends a year, with a total of over 150 students per year. And our student government set up an incentive for the students to participate, where for each shift that they do, their club will receive $25 towards travel or other activities for the club. So that really helped in encouraging the participation.
Back in the early 2000s when some of these drownings took place, I mean, you know, how did the administration really want to address some of these issues?
The risky drinking behaviors is a community issue, and it's perceived to be a college student issue, and so we all need to work together on addressing that. So there's education within all of the colleges, there's AODA programming that all 3 colleges do, and this, you know, out in the community with Operation Riverwatch. There's also the coalition going on with the Health Science Center, and it takes the whole community to change a culture of risky drinking behaviors. And, you know, we needed to dispel the serial killer myth. You know, the serial killer wasn't a person throwing people into the river as risky drinking behaviors.
So, Denise, I assume you're referring to, the smiley face killer is what it was called, Officer Pataska. You know, I guess what has the La Crosse Police Department found in regards to whether this was the work of a serial killer?
Well, this was every drowning, there is a complete investigation, obviously, that's conducted. And with that, it, from beginning to end in every single one of them, you find as much evidence or any witnesses, anything that you possibly can. So with that, with people coming up with a, you know, that as a possible thing that happened, of course we looked into it, and the police department took that seriously. But in looking, there was nothing to prove that that did happen, that there was someone out there. There was nothing to show that there was maybe, you know, someone that was pushed in by anyone, any type of activity like that. So at the end of every investigation, we did find that there was no evidence to prove that someone had been killing these or pushing these people in the river.
Where do you think that theory started?
I think that some people didn't want to believe that alcohol was maybe an issue in La Crosse, or didn't want to maybe look into that right away. Maybe some people kind of thought that, hey, this is someone who has a vendetta against maybe college students or male college students specifically. So I think that was kind of what maybe people were thinking of is, you know what, this isn't an issue on drinking. This is maybe some other issue. And they tried thinking of something else other than the alcohol.
I know that there have also been other theories, you know, over the years of why there seemed to be a series of drownings. I know that there was also, you know, even a documentary made about whether this was the work of a ghost. Officer Pataska, do you have any thoughts on that theory?
Same, I guess, thoughts where I think people are trying to think of something else instead of maybe what's at hand or looking at the evidence or what we're able to find. That's obviously what our police department was doing, is trying to find that evidence. And obviously a ghost, we weren't able to find anything.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the 10th anniversary of Operation River Watch, a student-led organization working to prevent drownings in the Mississippi River. We're here with Alex Marodic, University of Wisconsin La Crosse student and director of Operation River Watch, Denise Vinovich, vice president of student development and success at Western Technical College, and Officer Brooke Pataska from the La Crosse Police Department. And so, Denise, as you mentioned, these drownings were the result of, you know, students being intoxicated. And, you know, from your perspective, you mentioned that there seems to be risky drinking behaviors going on. You know, how do we combat that?
I believe that there are initiatives within the city at the Health Science Consortium that they have a coalition together working on. Educating people on risky drinking behaviors, how to prevent them. I mean, this weekend with the Family Zone at the parade, training the servers at the beer tents.
During Oktoberfest this weekend in La Crosse.
And many of the festivals. So there is far more education and training going on, awareness. I believe that our media has done a very good job of helping to change the culture by telling about blood alcohol levels when there are accidents and alcohol-related incidents, and that helps too. I think that helps to dispel the myth of the serial killer.
Alex, from your perspective, is there a drinking problem in La Crosse?
I wouldn't say it's a drinking problem. I think it's more so people... I guess, yes, in essence, because people don't really understand their limits. And some things that, like, the student body has done, like my fraternity, Sigma Tau Gamma, what we've actually done, it was already a year ago from now, we started this initiative called Party Point Oh. It started over in Oshkosh, and then we were actually the second branch that ever came out. And all it was... it is an off-campus house party that is alcohol-free, so it's giving students the opportunity to go out and have a social aspect, social interaction, you know, get awesome door prizes, meet a lot of people, still dance. We can still play, like, sober beer pong. Our party, we had a slip and slide that was outside, costume contests, like, the whole gambit. So also having students take the initiative to say, like, you know, it's still okay to have a nice, fun time, and you can still go out with your friends, you can still be off campus. It doesn't necessarily need to incorporate drinking, because alcohol has always been here, and it will probably always, and it always will be. It's just a matter of educating the students to understand what the effects are.
And do you think there has been progress made on the drinking culture on campus?
It's really hard to tell. I would say that there has been some sort of a change. I know that citations on campus have become more pronounced. I worked within residence life for 2 years, and with those 2 years, I saw a progression of, RAs taking more initiative to say, like, hey, this is a dormitory, you know, you cannot have drinking in here. They get the police involved, and then those parties move elsewhere, preferably off campus, which is when the realm of the police force takes over. There's really nothing else that we can do.
And Brooke, from the police department's perspective, is there a drinking issue or a problem with drinking culture in the La Crosse area?
I think that the La Crosse area, like Alex has already said, that there's always been a number of bars on 3rd Street and in our downtown area. It's not just college students, it's people of all ages. So as far as a drinking problem, I absolutely agree with Alex in that people just don't necessarily know their limits. They don't know how much they can have before they come to that point where they are disoriented, before they are unable to walk correctly. But in addition, what we've seen as well is that's helped is a lot of college students are educated specifically to walk in groups or walk in pairs. So if maybe one has a bit too much to drink, that other one can help them get back home or make sure that they are watching them or keeping an eye on that person as well. So that we have definitely seen, that's been a huge benefit. And there's many times that we now obviously have cell phones. That helps a lot in that there could be someone in the downtown area that maybe got separated from a family or a friend or whoever they were downtown with. They have those cell phones. We can say, okay, call them. And we'll stand there by them and make sure that they do find whoever that they were there with, and we can get them safely home. So that's also been a benefit as well, is making sure that those people aren't separated or, kept away from anyone else.
And Alex, you know, not only does Operation Riverwatch, obviously prevents people from, accidents happening downtown after drinking, but, how else is the organization, helping to promote, safety when downtown?
I guess it's more so based upon the individual colleges, because every college has its own representative. Typically, it doesn't fall on them to do any kind of like programming or anything, because that's not our purpose. Our purpose has always been to be a some sort of visual and physical force, even though we can't use force to apprehend anybody, but to be located down at the river. So as for like having our members of the WTC or Western Technical College, Viterbo and UWL, it's more so we're trying to recruit people. And when we're recruiting people, we're also taking people out of that scene of drinking for that weekend. Granted, it's only going to be 8 to 16 people at a weekend, but people talk, that can mushroom out into other things. People start getting involved. And we even have people that are mandated for violations with like alcohol within the residence halls or even in the community itself. They have to come in due time. So, and that's in volunteering as well. It's also a root in, or kind of like a stem from like education on if this is what you do, then this is what could happen.
And Denise, do you think participation in the Riverwatch program kind of serves as education on the risks
absolutely,
of drinking?
Absolutely. It increases awareness. It does a lot to change people's students' perception. The perception is, well, he was an athlete. There's no way that he could have fallen in and drowned. He could take care of himself. He could swim. But when you're under the influence and there's cold water, it's that doesn't matter anymore. I mean, fall in. And I think last year, some interesting information. Last year, one of the classes, I think it was a marketing class, did a study of the perception of the students of the three colleges have about Operation Riverwatch. And I think one of the statistics to me was, well, it was very interesting overall, but one of them was 39% of the respondents reported being concerned for their own safety while drinking, while 81% of the respondents said that they've been concerned of their friend's safety. So, I mean, it's everybody else. It's everyone else's safety, but they, you know, we're increasing their knowledge and perception of keeping themselves safe. And actually at Western, we do the National College Health Assessment every couple of years, and the reported risky drinking behaviors have decreased since 2008. So I believe this is part of that.
That's Denise Vinovich, Vice President of Student Development and Success at Western Technical College, here with us today to talk about a collaboration among local colleges to keep students from drowning in the Mississippi River. Also joining our conversation is Alex Marotic, University of Wisconsin-La Crosse student and director of Operation Riverwatch, and Officer Brooke Potaska from the La Crosse Police Department. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Alex, can you explain how Operation Riverwatch works? You know, how do students get involved?
Mm-hmm. So, between the three schools, each school has a representative. I myself am the representative of UWL, and then we have Riley Tuma from Viterbo, and then WTC is Thomas. I can't remember his last name. He's a student president. It's kind of bad that I don't know. And then we also have G. Vang, who's also an administrator there at Western Technical College. And between the actual four of us, we're always in charge of recruiting individuals from our prospective schools.
The current president is Troy Englert.
Oh, Troy Englert.
Yes.
Yep, sorry.
And so, so you said you recruit students to participate. How does that work? How did they sign up? You know, how long is a shift?
Yeah. What we typically do, I guess one of the things that we do in our major first event that we have with Operation Riverwatch, as for the other schools, is Oktoberfest for this coming weekend. And typically the representatives from every school reaches out to the chancellor. I know that UWL does, so we have Dr. Joe Gao send out a mass email just with some basic contact information along with shift outlines and actual job descriptions that we have within Oktoberfest. But reaching outside of that to, you know, the non-Oktoberfest weekends, it's usually going to be like word of mouth. We do have recurring volunteers that come out, which is phenomenal, but it's always nice to have new faces because eventually those faces are going to go off and graduate and so on and so forth. But we also do really tight communication with local clubs, like Golden Key has always been a pretty big one for us at UWL, along with the various club sports teams. Just because they're not affiliated directly as a designated UWL sports team, they have to have mandated community service hours. So we have lots of like sports teams, so like Frisbee, Ultimate Frisbee, Rugby, and Soccer, and so on and so forth, like to volunteer.
And do students receive any training before, going out on their shifts?
We actually do not do any kind of formal training at all. What we tentatively have volunteers do is they come like 10 to 15 minutes before a shift if they have not volunteered before. At that time, we always go over the guidelines for those that have not been filled in. If somebody has volunteered before and is in a group with one other individual that has not, we don't necessarily have to say like everything that is outlined within our guidelines. We have the individuals read the two different forms. So we have just a general sign-in sheet, and we also have a liability form. We actually have to have them read that liability form. We give them like 3 to 5 minutes to go ahead and read that. And then outside of that, it's really just about like the whole boundaries. Some things that I like to say to individuals if I were to encounter somebody intoxicated. And then we go through a what-if situation of what if they do become combative? What if they do fall into the river? What should you do? And it's very, I guess it would be nice to have some formal training. But then again, it's going to be opening up to a catering of, 300 or more people. And not all those people are going to be volunteering.
So what do you instruct students to do if they come across someone?
Sure. So if somebody is noticeably not intoxicated, such as like a tourist, you know, taking pictures at night. It's kind of one of the big things, and also a big contributor to this number's years is Pokemon Go. So typically what we say is, hi, my name is, for instance, myself, my name is Alex. I'm with Operation Riverwatch. I just want to let you know that the park is closed at this time. It closes at 11 p.m. I'd greatly appreciate it if you leave at your earliest convenience. That I also use for individuals that are intoxicated. 9 times out of 10, they're going to be very compliant. And then sometimes there's that one individual that likes to talk back and say, well, you can't make me leave. Well, then we're going to have to get the authorities involved. Once you kind of pull that card, then typically they comply as well.
And Officer Potaska, I mean, is this risky to have students down there patrolling the park, citizens?
No, not necessarily. In that we're letting them know that they're there. The Operation River Watch individuals are there just to kind of be our eyes, because we can't be everywhere. And we can't man that. We can't put officers down there. Unfortunately, they have to be out taking other calls. So it's one of those things that, yeah, we've been kind of telling them too, that if you do have someone that isn't listening to you, not to obviously go hands-on. This is nothing to become physical about. It's just to let that person know that, hey, this is obviously, you know, Riverside Park. Again, it's closed. Can you please leave? And from there, they've done everything we've could possibly ask them to do. And from that, yeah, if that person doesn't listen to them, then that's what we're there for, to call us, and we'll go over and we'll escort that individual, explain to that individual that this is Operation River Watch and that they are correct in everything that they have told them. And if by chance anyone does become physical, we always, you know, advise them to obviously disengage, walk away, and just let us know. Call the police, give a description of that person, and maybe if they can kind of keep an eye on them and where they are walking. If they are walking away, they're walking towards the river. Again, if someone does fall in the river, we're not asking those individuals to jump in after them. We're not asking those individuals, because we're not training them for that. We're just training them to and asking them to call us and let us know if there is a problem down there. Then we'll send, you know, the proper rescue team, we'll send the proper enforcement that we need, we'll get Tri-State there if someone is obviously injured, we'll call everyone else that could possibly need for that scenario. But yep, they're not there to obviously get in the way of any of those situations. They're kind of there to be our eyes as well when we just can't be there.
And so how often does the La Crosse Police have to respond to an incident in Riverside Park?
It isn't very often. Most people are compliant. Most people do kind of understand. There are some that, yep, do like to snap back and like to say, nope, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to be right here. But those scenarios, even when police get there, we can usually try and talk them away from the river. We can try and talk them into getting to their home or wherever that they're staying for the night. Again, if they're still not willing to listen to us, there are a couple of different things that obviously the police department can do as far as citations or arrest, or depending obviously on their intoxication level, even maybe a detox. But yep, there's a different routes that we can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alex.
And one other thing that we also like to do, like for the preface to the shift times as well, as you're there to be a really good witness, not a superhero. And then also to touch on the police interactions whenever we are calling upon them. I checked the binder at the Radisson that we partner with before this time, and what it actually was, it came to a total of about 46 individuals since school has started, 1 week prior to school starting, up until now, as of this past week. Has been, yeah, right around 46 individuals, and then we've only had to call the police for one of those people.
And so, you know, how does that conversation kind of play out? Usually, why are people there in the park? I know you mentioned, you know, there for other activities, but if someone is intoxicated, how do they end up in the park?
That's kind of always been the main question. Like, how do people actually end up in Riverside Park? How did they end up in the river? My personal belief is that intoxicated individuals that are not very coherent take the easiest path possible. So much like water, they tend to run downhill. Everything leads down to the river. It's kind of the dump-off point is in Riverside Park, because that's the most wide-open area that La Crosse downtown offers. So between that, and then it's also, like I mentioned before, the whole Pokemon Go movement now, that's been a major contributing factor to our numbers this year.
Mm-hmm. And have there been any close calls since you've been involved with Operation Riverwatch?
Yeah, so that was 2 weeks ago, on September 8th, actually, there was a guy that I was volunteering with, some of my fraternity brothers, that came. We tried to stop him. He just blew right past us, kept on running. He came from behind the Native American statue on the north side of the park, and he was soaking wet from head to toe. So that was in itself kind of spooky. You know, I started thinking about, like, where did he go in? Was it actually from the river or a tributary? Did he go into a fountain? Don't exactly know. So we ended up following him all the way to the waterfront bar and tavern, and that's where the police apprehended him. So that was one of the recent ones that we've had.
That's Alex Morodick, University of Wisconsin lacrosse student and director of Operation Riverwatch, here with us today to talk about the collaboration among local colleges to keep students from drowning in the Mississippi River. Also joining our conversation is Officer Brooke Pataska from the Lacrosse Police Department and Denise Vinovich, Vice President of Student Development and Success at Western Technical College. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in Lacrosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on public safety and the drinking culture in lacrosse. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in Lacrosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about Operation Riverwatch, a collaboration among local college students to prevent drownings in the Mississippi River. It's been 10 years since the program was first started, after a series of drownings of young men in lacrosse shook the community. Now the group is working to promote safety downtown. Joining us in studio are Alex Morodick, University of Wisconsin lacrosse student and director of Operation Riverwatch, Denise Vinovich, Vice President of Student Development and Success at Western Technical College, and Officer Brooke Pataska from the Lacrosse Police Department. And Alex, before the break, you know, you were sharing a story of an interesting call in Riverside Park during Operation River Watch. I'm sure you've had more of those, interesting events. Any other close calls or stories?
Yeah, there was one particular individual that was in 2013, actually in October as well. It wasn't over Oktoberfest. It was just one of the following weeks. But he was barely able to stand up on his own 2 feet and was walking down towards the river. And when we encountered him, he was able to make it to the sidewalk right along the river, more towards the north end of the park, so kind of where like the band shelter is located. And earlier that day, it was raining, like a torrential downpour, and it really just soaked everything, and then in turn kind of made that night very still, so that the water actually kind of seemed like a sheet of glass. My group approached him and said, "Excuse me, sir, you know, I just want to let you know the park is closed. This, then the other thing that we typically say for having people to leave." And he said, "Well, I'm just trying to get to my vehicle." "Well, sir, your vehicle is probably nowhere near here. You're at the riverfront." "Well, no. I parked over on that asphalt parking lot over there." And we kind of turn and we look, and sure enough, the river actually looked like a wet asphalt area to park your vehicle, and then the lights from Pettibone Beach kind of shimmered off the surface of it and made it look like street lights. And that was definitely like a hair-standing moment for not only myself, but also the individuals that I was with. And it was just, this is like a real risk, and this is a real life situation where this guy definitely would have climbed down those jagged rocks, and he definitely would have gone right into the river.
And, you mentioned that was, during October, and obviously this week is Oktoberfest here in Lacrosse. I mean, how does that change things for you guys? Does it put you on higher alert?
Oh, absolutely. What we typically try to do is between the 3 days, thank goodness Oktoberfest is only 3 days instead of the six that it used to be split between the 2 weekends. But we have heightened personnel down at Riverside Park, along with just in the community in general. So we have had in the past, it's different for this year because we're not running those shuttles anymore between Pettibone and other local motels and hotels and such. But we used to have individuals that would ride those buses kind of as like a peer cushion between the driver and the rest of the people. We also have people at the tables within Oktoberfest kind of giving them just people very general directions as to where new hotels are going to be located. And then we also have people stationed at various street corners that are primary hotspots for confused individuals or different routes that you can actually manage to get yourself into Riverside Park. So during Oktoberfest itself, we try to have around 75 students volunteer per night. Granted, there are some nights where we don't need as many individuals, such as like Thursday. We typically cut that almost in half, so right around like 40 or so people just for Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday in particular is when we have heightened participation from the schools.
And Officer Pataska, you know, during Oktoberfest weekend, are drownings kind of, I guess, more likely? Is that something that the police department worries about more?
Absolutely. There's more people around. There's a lot more places that are open, and with the Oktoberfest grounds right there as well, more people are enjoying themselves with alcoholic beverages. It's definitely a concern above any normal weekend or without a festivity, just like Oktoberfest. So, yeah, we do. The police department obviously has more officers working. We get officers from out of town. We get state patrol. We collaborate with a lot of different departments just to make sure that there are more officers there for any situation that may happen. We also have with blocking off 3rd Street for Oktoberfest. In the evenings there, we do have even Tri-State and first responders there on bicycles so they can easily get around. If there's any type of a scenario that does happen at Riverside Park specifically, they can get there and not have to worry about getting a full ambulance out there right away. So access, we make that a lot easier also.
And Denise, you know, does Western Technical College try to do anything to educate students or warn students about, you know, some of these risky drinking behaviors during Oktoberfest?
Absolutely. All week this week there's programming going on specific for, you know, pre-Oktoberfest. But even before then, new student orientation, our RAs are trained, going to the classroom. And then October is National Alcohol Awareness Month and programming going on at that time. So it's going on constantly. But I also want to go back, you know, this is really a model program for all college campuses throughout the nation that have water in the vicinity, and if there's a student drinking culture in the area. And, you know, earlier Alex mentioned that they don't try to be superheroes, but they're heroes. I mean, there hasn't been a drowning in 10 years at Riverside Park. They're heroes.
You know, have there been other colleges that have, you know, wanted to you know, copy this program or set up a similar program?
Oh, yes. There's definitely been a lot of information shared throughout the nation, the AODA programming, you know, the networks share this information, communities share this information. So definitely a great model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and recently, this month, a Luther College student in Decorah, Iowa, there was a drowning there as well. You know, Alex, do you think that students at other colleges should be stepping up?
Oh, absolutely. Just within my term of being director, it was my first year. Somebody, I think it was actually from that university that individual drowned at, contacted our representative, that's kind of like our counselor, our advisor for Riverwatch, Ingrid Peterson. And then at that point, Ingrid shared various information as to the whole schematics of our system. We don't exactly have a set dynamic for this organization. Just in case, like if none of my fraternity brothers decide to step up into the director's position, the directorship can go over to Western Technical College. It can go to Viterbo. So I guess like kind of having that plasticity is something that every organization is going to have to change. But trying to make students take the initiative on such a big issue on every university campus or every university, you know, is definitely something I would highly advocate for anybody to do. You know, as of right now, to my knowledge, I'm the only director of Operation Riverwatch in the entire nation, because nobody is, I mean, they don't have to, but nobody has ever reached out and said, like, hey, this organization is happening at this college, this is what they're doing, and it's kind of on the same lines. I don't really necessarily have that knowledge. I know that Winona, too, is pretty much our sister city. They don't have a river watch, and they actually have a street, I've been there, that drives right into the river because it's a boat launch, and they don't have issues there at all, and that's fairly close to their downtown location as well. So, I mean, it really is, you know, is it just a La Crosse issue, or is it a pan college student issue? And depending upon the college, you know, environment around it, it also depends upon that.
And Brooke, you know, has the La Crosse Police Department had conversations with Winona or other, you know, communities that, you know, have college students and have a university and also have bodies of water, you know, nearby? What are those conversations like?
Yeah, anytime anyone wants to delve into what we're doing and what we have here in La Crosse, absolutely. All those notes and information are open to them. So, yeah, I mean, it's up to that department or that city to decide if they want to start something or not. That's ultimately their decision. But, yeah, we do have all that information at hand if anyone does have any questions on how we're making it work here.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the 10th anniversary of Operation Riverwatch, a student-led organization working to prevent drownings in the Mississippi River. We're here with Officer Brooke Pataska from the La Crosse Police Department, Alex Muradic, University of Wisconsin La Crosse student and director of Operation Riverwatch, and Denise Vinovich, Vice President of Student Development and Success at Western Technical College. And so, Alex, you know, what do you think the future of this program is?
As I mentioned before, I think that alcohol will always have some sort of a foothold within any college campus, just because college is meant to make the person a social person, whether that be actually with drinking or not. And, you know, there always has to be some sort of a wall that kind of protect our students, because we rely on one another to be that, to have that social aspect. And unfortunately, you know, La Crosse has succumbed to a lot of those fatalities just because of that social aspect. And trying to enact such a cause was really a good thing that UWL started.
And Denise, you know, how would you like to see this this program maybe develop, or do you think that it's, you know, at a sustainable place?
Well, when it first started, I have to say I was concerned about sustaining it. And we have students that graduate and move on. And so I am very impressed that it has sustained for 10 years. And I support sustaining for another 10 years. I mean, if there's 300 to 1,300 interceptions per year, and this is phenomenal. And if we can keep up this great work, you know, the three colleges I know will support it.
And Officer Pataska, do you think this is, you know, the Operation Riverwatch program, do you think it'll always be necessary?
Absolutely, especially when we're having that many contacts every weekend. That's something that is necessary, and that's being seen by anyone who is working Riverwatch or is down there. As the community as a whole can tell that this is something that is necessary.
And, you know, because there are so many contacts, I mean, is this something that... Should police officers be the ones doing this, or do you think that, you know, this is a role best fit by the community?
We have looked into options as far as police being the ones walking, and one aspect that we looked at is obviously being able to have that many officers. We'd have to hire some more, and that crunch on the city. So we've definitely addressed that. It hasn't necessarily worked as well as with the universities. The other aspect is that those university students can relate so much more to those individuals that they're maybe seeing walking around, and they can also be there to help compared to maybe having that police officer there. That student that is walking around disoriented may find it a little bit harder to talk to that police officer compared to maybe talking to another UWL student or TC student that is there walking around. So I think it helps to see that, and it helps bring that awareness to those universities even before school starts or the first week of school, to say that, nope, we're out there, we're helping, we're here to make you aware that this is something we've seen in the past. We want to make sure that you're not a victim of this.
Yeah, Alex.
One thing to add on top of that, too, is we also have, like, the reserve units within the police department that have typically always been there in Riverside Park in case somebody were to become, disrespectful or combative. And just through the duration or, like, in history, the amount of reserves has very slightly declined, so they're not always present. However, police patrols are always present downtown, so our volunteers are still, you know, very safe. Within a matter of 2 to 3 minutes, we've practiced to have police, you know, come to the aid of our volunteers.
And I know that Operation Riverwatch is planning a 5K right now. Tell me a little bit about that event.
Ever since our establishment back in 2006, it was kind of, you know, how long is it going to last? There was always the primary question. And, you know, the 5 years came around, you know, people started to say, like, hey, you know, we should start trying to commemorate, you know, such a feat, you know, since it's a student-ran and student-supported organization. What can we do to perhaps get it back into the eye of the community? Because when no deaths happen, Riverwatch, the sound of Riverwatch, you know, it tends to die down. And then once something tragic does happen, it's like, okay, well, where were they? So I guess the purpose of Riverwatch's 10-year anniversary, we're going to be putting on a 5-kilometer run or walk, depending on what your fitness goals are, for October 15th. And we want to do the 5K primarily because that's typically how far our volunteers walk within a single shift. So within a matter of 2 hours, it's going to be right around 3 or even more miles. So in that sense, it's kind of like giving people a real taste of it. And then the other thing is that it's going to be starting at the north end of East Avenue, just north of UWL's campus, right next to the baseball fields, and it will be concluding in Riverside Park. And the whole significance of that is just because that's where we do our nightly duties in Riverside Park, and it would be just a really good commemorative kind of event with a end of the, at the band shelter, we're going to be doing a conclusion with some statistical statements along with a memorial of those that have passed on, and then just a general thank you as well for those that participated.
And so is this raising money for the organization, or, you know, is that awareness piece really what the goal is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the primary initiative of doing the 5K is to say, hey, this is Operation Riverwatch. We are still here. We have been here for the past 10 years. However, yes, we are doing it as a fundraiser for Operation Riverwatch. And what exactly is that money going to be going to? What we plan on doing is split it. Some of the funding between per majority is going to go back into Operation Riverwatch, but then the other three sectors, so Viterbo, Western Technical College, and University of Wisconsin La Crosse, will be taking some funds as well just for publicity. WTC has a phenomenal program where they can have monetary incentive, while Viterbo and UWL don't have that luxury of doing it, which I really wish that we could get something passed within our own student government to get that going. So what we're probably going to be using that is for more publicity, more enticing opportunities, such as like gift cards to the individual that volunteers the most within such amount of weeks.
Are there plans to kind of, take the program to the next level? And what would that really look like?
Gee, I don't really know what the next level would be. I would assume it would be more so like having the involvement of the La Crosse community rather than the actual students. I know that we actually end up dwindling during times of summer breaks and winter breaks and spring break and so on and so forth. So I think actually having some of the local, like the Bar and Tavern League, they assisted us getting established back in 2006, the Tavern League, I should say. And, just trying to get the community support year-round would be probably the next level, along with more public representation. So we go to Oktoberfest, maybe set up a booth, have various fundraisers throughout the year because we go through lots of batteries for our flashlights. Some of our stuff gets damp and gets put into a bag over a course of 5 days and gets moldy for our vests after it rains and stuff. So just having those funds and having the public awareness is probably what the next level is going to be.
And Brooke, do you think the community could benefit from having that year-round patrolling?
Yeah, absolutely. People are still out and about in the summertime when, yes, school is not in session. Still, obviously, during spring break weeks or any other times that college is not in session and that maybe the students aren't readily there in La Crosse. So, absolutely, I think year-round would be beneficial for the city.
And, Denise, you know, I guess big picture, do you think that Operation Riverwatch has maybe changed the conversation or started a new conversation about how students in the community can kind of respond to these incidents?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It made a difference in changing our whiskey drinking culture in La Crosse. And keep in mind, they're out there. It's raining. It's snowing. It's 20 below zero. And they're there. And that's very impressive and an incredible partnership with a student-led initiative.
We've been talking with Denise Vinovich, Vice President of Student Development and Success at Western Technical College, Officer Brooke Potaska from the La Crosse Police Department, and Alex Marotic, UWL student and director of Operation Riverwatch, about the collaboration between the local colleges to prevent drownings in the Mississippi and other ways La Crosse can promote public safety downtown. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.